We are looking at intercessory prayer, where we stand before God and plead for others, sort of what we do on Wednesday nights, many people entrusting us with their prayer requests. But we want to ask ourselves, what is the life that can pray? John 15, verses 5 and 7 gives us a clue here. Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." He wants us to picture this. The vine is what grows up out of the ground. The branches go off of the vine. "He that abideth in me," the branch that abides in the vine, "and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." Without me is literally severed from me. You take the branch and you pluck it off the vine, stops growing its fruit. You can do nothing, he says. "If ye abide in me," almost continuing the thought, but the opposite side in verse 7, "if you abide in me and my words abide in you," the sap, the fluid from the vine going into the branch is pictured here as his word. "If my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Here he's describing the life of the branch attached to the vine. In 1 John 3:21 and 22, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God," the clear conscience, not a defiled one. "We have confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." If we put that with the vine picture, the branch who's connected to the vine then is dependent on that vine to supply its very life, and takes its life, as it were, from the vine, that particular vine. So the principle here, I believe, is this, that our power in prayer depends on our life. When our life is right, we will pray so as to please God, asking that which is pleasing. Let us learn from Christ in the parable of the vine what a healthy life is, and how we ask and receive. Back to Gospel of John, verse 15, 16. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." He wants the kind of life that produces the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of other people being born again. "And that your fruit should remain," not just a little flash in the pan thing, "that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." You see a cause and effect referenced here. So we must abide in Christ. Picture the grapevine with his branches. The branch exists only to do the bidding of the vine. You see? That's the purpose of the branch. It's connected, and it says, what fruit should I bring forth this season? And the vine says, "Grapes, silly, the only thing we do here," see. It receives the sap from the vine, and then it bears the grape. So the Christian must conceive of himself as a branch at the disposal of the vine. He must be single-minded, single-purposed. Christ's words, we said the word must abide in him, must abide in us as we learn them and obey them. So we learn the word, and then we follow the word. We match our life to his words. Jesus promises anything and whatsoever. How big are those? Whatsoever, anything, you see. John 14:13-14, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 15:16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, that he may give it you. John 16:23-24. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. So what are we talking about in actual life? Unlimited devotion to and dependence on the branch life of fruit-bearing yields access to the treasures of the vine life. So be the branch that is devoted to, not separated from, the vine, and have ultimate dependence on him for that life. Let's think of some examples. Abraham left his home in obedience to God. He says, take off walking, I'll tell you when to stop. Yes, sir. He even obeyed the command to offer up his miracle son as a sacrifice to God. But then he had great boldness in asking his requests to God, asking of God, but applying those requests to him. Another example, big example, Moses. He chose God over his Egyptian privileges and his treasures. And at the burning bush, he forsook his simple life to answer God's call. He lived at God's disposal. But now we listen, Exodus 40:16. Thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him. To all, you see, so did he. And then in Hebrews 3:5, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. And we remember how he prayed with God. He was very bold in conversation with God. So with that in mind, the example of these men who were just turned away from the world, turned to God, and then by their utter dependence on him, found they had the pleasure of asking him and receiving. So here we are. We have requests, some requests that we repeat over and over and over again. And we haven't seen anything happen yet. So we've learned about importunate prayer. The rudeness, the boldness that says, I'm going to ask again and again and again. Well, take courage in remembering that every new step you take in your Christian life, every new surrender that you make to live for others in intercession will be met from above with a corresponding liberty to pray with greater boldness and confidence. The closer you are to him, and that in the evidence of your life, you're just turning to him. He defines your life. You receive greater liberty to pray with greater boldness and confidence. One of the most precious lessons of the parable of the vine is that God is the husbandman. Do you know the word husbandman? Hardly use that anymore. But God the Father watches over our growth and fruit bearing. Now, he's the one that provides the extra fertilizer, the good food for the plant. He's the one that pulls out the weeds that are trying to do that and chases away the insects that are trying to eat away at the vine or at the branches. But he's also the one that snips things off that aren't working, that prunes the plants. John 15:1-2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Puts a whole new meaning to husband, doesn't it? One who's husbanding the wife. Interesting thought. Should have thought of it earlier. I could have said something about it. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, cleans it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You catch what he wants here? What he's doing? Why he's pruning? Why he's cleaning? God wants more fruit. He made this offer by the very blood of his Son. He wants more fruit. And he will provide more fruit. For this reason, he cleanses the branches. He prunes the branches. Entire areas of the vine are cut away to allow what is left to be more full of the precious sap. What remains is better able to bear fruit. So, in our lives, sometimes things happen, things change. But let us then willingly submit to his pruning. Perhaps in your life, you have things that you really enjoy. It's not really producing God's fruit in your life. So let the less productive areas of your life go. Let them go so that you will bear greater fruit. Now, this is that big word, discernment. This is where we're not after. Well, the Bible doesn't say it's wrong. But is it the best discernment? We're not looking for good. We're looking for better and better until we find the best in our life. Discernment sacrifices some areas of your life that in themselves are innocent and legitimate. Sacrifice them to allow you to bear more fruit. Now, as you give up self-pleasing activities, your life can produce the fruit God desires. John 15:3, talking about that purging. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The unclean doesn't bear the fruit. God's fruit. So the pruning knife is the Word of God. So for our best efforts, because in the end, it is only what we've done for God that means anything. Stay in the Word to find areas of life that you have outgrown as you serve the Lord. Let the Lord prune it away and shed no tears for it. More and more, center on the work of God that he has entrusted to you. So, as we've talked about this type of prayer, this dedication to prayer, this intercessory prayer, are you mourning your lack of prayer? We have time for so many other things. Are you sad over your powerlessness in prayer? Then listen to the call of Jesus. He wants you, he calls you to be his branch, drawing from him, producing what he wants you to produce. Not all listen to his call. They're busy doing something else. Something that they consider as important as the call of God. Not all are willing to submit to the pruning of their life. No, I like it. I want it. I enjoy it. I'm keeping it. But once they've made that decision, they do not have the privilege of asking anything in His name and receiving it. What would it be worth in your life to be able to ask anything and receive it? Anything that has been drawn from the vine. An important concept.